morning I'm going to be talking about making the most of your life. How many want to make the most that you possibly can out of the life that's been given to you in God? I believe that that's a cry and a desire of all of our hearts. We want to make our life count. Anybody not want to make their life count for something here today? I believe that there's an inborn desire in every one of our lives that we want our lives to count for something. After everything is said and done, we want to know that our life produced some results while we were here on this earth. And so most of us have heard the popular phrase that goes something like this: get a life. How many have heard that? We've all heard that. And so today I want to encourage you to get a life that's full of God's blessings. Get a life that's full of God's rewards. I enjoy rewards. Amen? I enjoy blessings. I like to be blessed. I like to be encouraged. I like to be strengthened. I like to be challenged. I like to walk in the encouragement of God, not the discouragement. Amen? And so I want a life that's full. I want to make the most of my life. I want to make my life count for something. And I believe that that's a heart cry of each and every one of your hearts as well, because it's an inborn desire in each and every one of us. We want to find purpose in life. And so if I were to ask you today, what is it that you want out of life? What would you tell me? What do you want out of life? What is your greatest desire in this life? What do you want out of your life? Maybe you haven't even considered that. I believe God wants us to consider that. What do we want to get out of our lives? I believe that most of us would say, I want this, I want that. But most of all, I want a rich life. Not a materially rich life, but a spiritually rich life. Amen? I want a life that's full of rewards. I don't mind having some of the riches of the world either. I'll take it. But that's not necessarily my focus. My focus is on, what do you want out of God? What do you want to do for God in this life? How do you want to make your life count as a father? How do you want to make your life count as a mother? How do you want to make your life count as a husband, as a wife, as a child? How do you want to make your life count as a businessman or a businesswoman? How do you want to make your life count as a working man or a working woman? How do you want to make your life count as a homemaker? Whatever it is that you're doing in this life, whatever it is that you find this hand involved in, how do you want to make your life count? Do you want your dream, your vision, just to be an end in itself? Or do you want to be involved in God's purpose in all that you're doing? Is your life one that is happy? Are you content with your life? Is your life going the way you thought it would go? You know, we've all heard the term midlife crisis. And some of us are reaching that point where there's quite a few of us now that have gone over the 40 mark. In fact, there's a number of us that are right there. You know, when you begin to reach that age, you begin to think, well, have my dreams, the things that were in my heart as a young person, have I fulfilled those things, or am I just sitting around spinning my wheels going nowhere? And sometimes I think we come up with the conclusion that everything we do is just futile. What are we doing? Are we just spinning our wheels and, you know, kind of like riding one of those exercise bicycles that are so popular to do today? You know, just sitting there pedaling and pedaling and pedaling, but going nowhere. Sometimes I feel like that. Lord, it seems like I do this, and, you know, I get involved in this, but where's the fruit? Does it count for anything? Is my life making any difference Is your life today making a difference in the world in which you live? And I believe that all of us have a desire to know that. Are you making the most of your life that God has given to you? Or are you simply spinning your wheels in frustration and discontentment? In James chapter 4 and verse 13, he alludes to this. You can turn there if you'd like. James chapter 4 and verse 13. He says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there. Buy and sell. Make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow." Anybody here know exactly what's going to happen tomorrow? We have a general idea. We know that we're going to get up, we're going to go to work. We're going to get up, we're going to feed the children, we're going to get them off to school. We're going to do all of these things that are in our regular routine, but we don't know what the unexpected things are that will come our way, do we? He says, "For what is your life?" And that's what I want to ask you today. What is your life? The Bible says, "It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." Poof! It's gone. Instead, you ought to say, "If the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that." In other words, we have so little time with our lives, let's make it count. Amen? Because the older we get, the more we realize how short our time is on this earth. And if we're just spending all of that time on selfish desires, we are going to be unfulfilled. You may think selfish desires fulfill you, but I think you've learned by now that all it does is create a greater emptiness in your lives. And you try to find more and more and more to fill that empty spot. You see, the only thing that can really fill the emptiness in our lives is to turn our lives towards God and His purpose and what He has for each and every one of our lives. And does that mean, well, now I'm turning my life to God, I'm gonna be a mighty man of God, I'm going to be a mighty woman of God, does that now mean that I'm going to go out and I'm going to accomplish all these great feats for God? Not necessarily. It just means you are going to be God's representative wherever you go. You are going to be the light in the darkness wherever you go. You are going to be God's servant wherever you go, whether it's at work, whether it's at home, whether it's at school, wherever it is, you are the light shining in darkness. In all reality, we really have very little time to make something out of our lives. We really have very little time to make our lives count for something. Does your world make sense to you today? Does the world that you are involved in, I'm not talking about this world specifically in a general sense. I'm talking about your little corner of the world. The people you're involved with. Your work. Your business. Your family. Does it make sense to you? Are you content? Are you confused? Are you frustrated? Do you feel like you're spending most of your time doing a lot but accomplishing very, very little? Do you feel like you are simply spinning your wheels and expending your precious energy? The older I get, the more I realize that I want to conserve my energy for things that count. You see, when we were in our youth, we had all kinds of energy, and we had more energy than what we knew what to do with. You know, it was hard to keep us harnessed. We were just going this way and that way and doing this and doing that, and then we still had energy left over. But now I find out that when I do this, my energy is spent. I don't have a whole lot left. I need to exercise more, you know, so I'll have more energy, but somehow it never happens. And so I want to channel my energy in the right direction, amen? I don't want to just expend all of my energy in these things over here that count for very little. that don't bring forth fruit for the kingdom, that don't bring forth fruit in my family, or don't bring forth the necessary fruit in just the way I should handle myself on the job or whatever in my business. I want to tell you today that you can have a full and rewarding life. That the Bible promises each and every one of us here today a full and rewarding life. Our lives do not have to be empty. Our lives do not have to be filled with vanity. Our lives do not have to be filled with just things that are going nowhere, that bring little joy to our lives. But as I said before, I believe all of us have an inborn need of really desiring to be useful. There's an inborn need in us. This is, I want to produce. I want to be something. When we were young, we had visions of grandeur. As we get older, those those dreams kind of filter down and we begin to face the reality more and more. You know, that things aren't necessarily going to turn out the way we anticipated. But we need to know that there's a purpose in what we do. I need to know that there's a purpose in what I'm doing here this morning. You need to know that as you get up, mother, and you spend time with your children, that there's a purpose in what you're doing. You need to know, husband and father, as you go off to work, and mothers that go off to work or whatever, that there's a purpose in what you're doing. That you're not just doing that, you know, finding yourself in a cycle that just spins around and around and around. You know, I work, I get paid, I eat, I buy this, I pay the rent, and it just goes around and around. And that's all I ever accomplish out of my life. That doesn't offer too much to me. You see, there has to be a purpose in what we're all about. And that's what Jesus came to give us. He came to fill our lives with purpose and destiny. That there's more to, you know, just the things that we see in front of us. That there's a kingdom that God is building and advancing in the earth today. And that God wants us as His servants, His ambassadors, to be filled with His purpose and His will. We want to feel like we're needed. We want to feel like the tasks that we do in life, the responsibilities that we perform in life, are important and are necessary. And that they count for something. Because today I would say, if I were to take a poll, and I'm not going to do that, but I would say many people are discontent with their lives. Discontent. Not happy, not fulfilled, not receiving the reward that God has intended. But God says you can have a full life. You can have a full and rewarding life. And so today, are you happy with your life? Do you have a rewarding marriage? You need to have a marriage that's rewarding. You need to have a family life that is full of rewards. Are you fulfilling your lifelong ambitions? Or have you just settled into a place of complacency that has simply accepted the mediocrity of life? I believe that God has promised each and every one of us a life filled with excitement and purpose. Psalm 16 and verse 11 says, "You will show me the path of life. Your presence is a fullness of joy." It says, "You, God, will show me the path of life. Your presence, in your presence is a fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." You know, I thought when I became a Christian, it was just going to be a life of boredom and dullness and all of that, but God said there's pleasures in it. I'm happier now than I've ever been. I didn't find happiness in the world. See, we grow up and we look for, we see the mirage of the world. We see the empty promises of the world. And we go out and we grab those things with all the gusto we can. But we find out they're just empty illusions that don't bring us contentment, that don't bring us the peace. We're still empty, searching. John 10 and verse 10. Jesus says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's what's alive in the world today. The Bible says the whole Satan, the whole world lies in the lap of the enemy. The world is under his control. He's a thief. He's a destroyer. He's a killer. He wants to kill the life that's in us. He wants to cause our lives not to count for something. But Jesus says, I have come. He says, I have come now. I've defeated the enemy. And he says, I have come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. Jesus says, I not only came to give you life, but I came to give you life that's full of abundance, full of the pleasures of God. And so today I ask you, do these seem like empty promises to you that God is simply baiting you to get your attention? Sometimes we look at that like that, don't we? Let's be honest with ourselves. God gives us all these promises and our attitude is, okay, sure. Let's try it. And it doesn't work. Hey, we've got to pour our soul into it, amen? We've got to pour everything that we have into God to make it work. They're not empty promises. And so I ask you today, do you believe that God is able to help you make the most of your life? If you do, God will do it. You see, you have got to believe that God wants to make you prosperous. That God wants to bring fulfillment into your life. That God wants to richly reward you. God is not sitting up there in the heavens and ready to beat you over the head with a stick every time you blow it. God is saying, come, come. I want to bless you. I want to forgive you. I want to pour my love into your life. He says, I'm not there to hurt you. I'm there to help you. I'm there to encourage you. I'm there to strengthen you. I'm there to heal you. I'm there to heal your marriage. I'm there to cause your family and your children and all of that to be, you know, to have harmony and peace. That your home would be a place where there's life, where there's abundance of life, where there's reward. God wants to help us. God understands our weaknesses. God understands the assault of the enemy in the land today and what we are up against. But God says, in the midst of that, I can help you. I can teach you. I can train you. I can help you come into that place of abundance. I can help you come into that place of great reward for your life. I can help you make your life count for something. And so I ask you again, what is your home life like? Is it happy? Is it a place of peace? Is it a place of contentment? God wants to make it a place of peace. He wants to make it a place of contentment. Are you experiencing all that God wants you to experience in your marriage today? Are you experiencing all that God wants you to experience in your family with your children? Is there major discontentment in your home? Or are you truly walking in the most that God has for you? I believe the home is one of the most significant factors. If we're not happy and fulfilled in our home, we're going to be miserable everywhere else we go. If our home is not a place of peace, if our home is not a place of security, I won't have the security and the rest and the peace when I go out to face the world. I need to come home to a place, you know, where God is in control. Where the peace of God is reigning, where the peace of God is ruling, so that I can get my batteries charged up. So that I can draw strength from my wife, so that she can draw strength from me, so that I can draw strength, or you can draw strength from your children, and they can draw strength from you, and encouragement and blessing and reward. What about your work? Are you satisfied? Or does it all seem futile? Does it all seem, well, just something I do? What about your service to God? What about your service to the church? Are you just spinning your wheels, or are you making your life count for something in all of these areas? I want to share with you this morning three things that will help you to find a rich and rewarding life. The first one is this, and it's so fundamental. We have to have a sense of purpose and destiny. You know why I got saved? You know why I came to the Lord? Is it because I had such a desire, a driving desire within me to know what my purpose was all about. To why am I here? Why am I in this world? What is the meaning of my existence? I mean, how many of us, raise your hands, have asked that question? Most of us. Why are we here, Lord? What's the meaning of our existence? See, I need to know that. That's the very thing that just drives us forward in life. If we don't have that, then what happens is that we continue to be empty. We're lifeless. We're lethargic. We don't produce the things that God wants us to produce. We are very unfulfilled. Proverbs 29 and verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. Where there is no vision or revelation, people cast off all restraint. You know what? You want to know why the world is on its course it is today? They have no purpose. They don't know what they're here for. They just believe that somehow an atom exploded somewhere and all of this just came about and there's nothing after this and there's no meaning for anything that we do. So everybody just does what they want to. Without restraint. No control. And that's become more and more inbred into our society all of the time. And that's what we're up against. But let me tell you something. If the people you work with, if the people you associate with will see purpose and destiny in your life, that's going to speak to them. They're going to see light in that. They're going to want to know, what is it that makes you tick? Why are you so happy? Why are you so encouraged? Why is your family doing so well when all the other families in the world are falling apart? What a challenge to the church. Amen. To be a light in this dark world. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9 speaks about our calling. Why we were even saved. He says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling? Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. You see, when God saved you, when God sought you out, and it's God who seeks us out, we say, well, I found God. Well, God was searching for you a long time before you began searching for him. He was drawing you unto himself for a purpose, for a reason, that you might embrace his purpose. You see, when you got saved, all of your life ambitions were a result of what the world had put into you. And sometimes we don't understand that transition when we come into the kingdom of God and we continue on with these same lifelong ambitions that have been in us since we've been little children and growing up and whatever. And now God redeems us, sets us apart for his kingdom. And he wants to renew our minds and fill us with his purpose, with his destiny, so that we now are on a course that has some meaning to it, some reason for it. What happens to us if we have a life without purpose? We end up chasing many endless rainbows. I've been caught up in that. You see the rainbow, and you go for it. But what happens? It never satisfies. It brings dissatisfaction. It brings heartache. It brings disillusionment. It brings a sense of failure because you never really achieve it. It's always something that's out there that you can't quite attain. It brings apathy. It brings emptiness. It brings a sense of worthlessness. This doesn't sound like the abundant life, does it? You see, if my dream is just a dream, if my dream is an end in itself, then it will not bring contentment. My dream has to be connected to God's purpose, because there is no end to God's purpose. And so when I'm involved in God's purpose in my life, my dream continues to unfold before me. Let me give you this illustration concerning businessmen who have said that their lives are empty. A study of 4,126 male business executives reveals widespread dissatisfaction with corporate experience. 48% of all middle managers said that despite years spent striving to achieve their professional goals, their lives seemed empty and meaningless. 68% of senior executives said that they had neglected their family lives to pursue professional goals. And half said that they would spend less time working and more time with their wives and children if they could start over again. Isn't that something? We don't have to wait until we've missed it. We can start now doing what's right. The question that men are asking today is, what am I doing this for? What am I doing this for? Before, the payoff was security and long-term employment. But corporations don't return loyalty as they used to. And men today are saying they don't see the investment as being worth it. So says Jan Halper of Palo Alto Consulting Center, who conducted the survey. That's where people are at today. Their lives are not counting for anything. Is your life counting? Are you making your life count in the areas that really matter? King Solomon came up with the same conclusion. King Solomon was given all the wisdom that, probably more wisdom than any man's ever had. He let it go to his head. He lost God's purpose in the midst of all of that and allowed his heart to be drawn away from God. And then he began to see the futility in all that he was doing. That's what Ecclesiastes is about. It says in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 10, whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. He said, I had everything. If I wanted it, I went for it. I saw the illusion and I went for it. Doesn't our TV make those illusions look good? He says, I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my reward from all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hand had done, and all the labor which I had toiled. And indeed, all was vanity and grasping of the wind. And there was no profit under the sun. That's what those men in that study were feeling. All that they had done, was there was no profit. It was all futile. You see, when Solomon lost sight of God's purpose, and that's what he did, he lost sight of God's purpose. When he lost sight, the things in his life became worthless and futile. There was no meaning to them anymore. He lost his meaning for existence when he began to look at self. And as a result, he became very dissatisfied and discontent with his life. And so what do? We need to look to God's purpose in all that we do. We must see things as God-given tasks. Whatever it is that I'm involved in, I need to include God in it. Whatever it is that my hand finds to do, how carnal it may be, I need to find God in it. I need to acknowledge God in all of my ways. And He will direct my steps. He will find purpose in that meaningless chore that I'm doing. I used to work at a plastics company. And we used to call some of the jobs that we did mindless jobs. In other words, what we did is we got the format of what we were doing, and then you just got into a routine. You're just spinning out as many of these things as you can in a certain amount of time. And it was just mechanical. But see, even in the midst of that, I could be doing that and just going to, and I got really good at some of the things that I did. I could whip them out really fast. But I would just in doing that, focus my mind on the Lord or whatever because they were mindless jobs. And there's a lot of things that we do today that are just mindless jobs. But
yes, Lord. Give us